Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Our Conversation. This is the radio show made especially for the community of BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and as always, joining me in the studio is BAE Systems CEO Ian King. Ian, hello.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well. What about yourself? I know you've literally just stepped off a plane at time of recording from Washington.
I just came off, yeah. Was in Washington doing some work on F-35 and then spent some time with the team over there going through one or two of their programs. Good day.
Okay, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Also joining us this month is Pete Linus, no stranger to the program. He, of course, is the BAE Systems Group Finance Director. Pete, welcome again to the proceedings.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Good to be back.
Now, Pete's appearance can mean only one thing. Some financial results have been published. We'll talk more about that with Pete in just a moment. First, though, Ian, back to your business and what you've been up to. We'll be looking back at Farnborough on this programme very shortly. But apart from Farnborough, what have you been up to and where have you been?
Preparing for the half-year results that Pete's going to take us through. We then have our board meetings supporting those results and going through a deep dive of the UK business with them.
So a busy time and an important part of the year, this.
It is an important part of the year, so, not just leading up to our results, but we've got good momentum across all our businesses and we have to keep it going.
Okay, Pete's here with his spreadsheets and his nominal ledgers. We'll find out more about that next.
Our Conversation.
Okay, well, Pete Linus is with us then, as I mentioned. Pete, of course, is BAE Systems Group Finance Director. No football to talk about at the moment. As we speak, we're a few days away from the beginning of the new season. You, of course, as we've mentioned, a huge, ardent Portsmouth fan. Looking ahead to the new season with optimism, Pete?
As always, Tim. Start of the season, everything to play for. Carlisle at home, first game of the season. Can't wait.
Well, let's get straight to business then. The recently published financial results. Just talk us through the headlines, if you would, please, Pete, to begin with.
Yeah, sure. A number of key points to make out, really. First of all, sales were up about £200 million. They were up at £8.7 billion. But most of that increase is really down to the benefit exchange translation. And that's where we're seeing our US business results. When you translate those in dollars into the weak pound, you get more pounds. We're expecting a stronger second half. And that's really because we've got some scheduled deliveries of aircraft into Saudi Arabia, more second half loaded than the first. Underlying earnings per share, and that's really our profit after tax divided by the total of number of shares we have out there. That was up 2% at 17.4 pence per share. One of the things that's very important to our shareholders is the dividend that we pay. That was increased also by 2%, and that was up at 8.6 pence per share. And in the current market conditions, where you see a lot of companies having to cut their dividends or reduce them quite significantly, this is a real positive message from BAE Systems in terms of the strength of the business. One other less positive feature I ought to talk about is the pension deficit. The pension deficit grew by £1.6 billion, and that's really around the way we treat the liabilities in the schemes. These are long-term liabilities. You have to discount them to current-day money.
So did you expect this to happen? Did you expect that figure to come up?
We've been expecting that since the beginning of the year. We had some really good returns on the assets we've got invested. The net effect was a £1.6 billion increase.
Which seems to me to be a huge figure. Should people be concerned? Should colleagues be concerned?
No, this is sort of accounting, which is what we call mark-to-market. So you take particular values on certain days. This year, we'll pay about £300 million a year into the deficit recovery plans, and that covers all the group scheme. That's both UK and the US. And of that, just over £200 million is in the UK.
And generally speaking, around the world, how have these results been received?
Markets received them pretty well. One of the things at the moment with the volatility in the markets, if you don't deliver what the market expects you to, you get battered in terms of your share price on the day. And on the day, we closed pretty much in line with the FTSE movement on the day. So we delivered what the market was expecting.
Ian, your overall view of these results, were you happy with them?
No, I mean, we were clear at the year end what the projections for this year. We reinstated those projections when we did the annual general meeting update. And this is, as Pete says, bang in line with those expectations. And if you think about our dividend, this is the 12th consecutive year that we've increased our dividend. At this moment, with all of the uncertainties and political turbulence, we're seen as a safe haven for our shareholders, which is where we want to be.
And looking ahead to the next 5 months, what do you have to focus on? What do colleagues have to focus on?
Well, as Pete says, there is a second half loading in terms of deliveries and hitting the milestones. So it's not taking the eye off the ball. We have the order book. We have a very strong order book. It's about hitting the milestones and no surprises in terms of our customers.
And you're confident, Pete, that you can do that as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we guided the markets on the day of the results. It's not just about the first half year results. It's also about what we say for the full year guidance. And we said that we still believe we could get a 5 to 10% growth on the adjusted underlying earnings. So it's all about the execution. As Ian says, we've got the backlog. We just got to execute.
Okay, Pete, Ian, for the moment, thanks very much.
Conversation.
I'm Tim Smith, and this is Our Conversation. Well, let's cast our minds back to the Farnborough International Air Show now. Futures Day takes place on the Friday of Farnborough, and it's a chance for young people from schools, colleges, cadet forces and training units to get the full Farnborough experience. It also allows BAE Systems to demonstrate the breadth of opportunities the company has to offer. Our reporter Nick Wallace was there.
Futures Day at Farnborough International Air Show is all about inspiration, and there are very few more inspirational figures than British astronaut Tim Peake, who came to Farnborough to give his first official press conference on British soil since returning from space.
I'm absolutely delighted to be back here at Farnborough 2016. I was here 2 years ago on Futures Day as well, which I consider to be the most important day of the air show because it's all about investment in our future and, of course, in the younger generation and our new generation of scientists and engineers.
Undergraduates Amber and Chris were admiring the Eurofighter Typhoon.
Military jets are a big love of mine. Really great to go and sit in the cockpit.
Today I'd like to see what opportunities BAE offers, especially to the younger audience.
And the overall verdict from this visitor: a big thumbs up.
I think the BAE system is really, truly amazing. I do think it's so good. It's got so much stuff in it so that you can just look around all day. Like, I don't think you could cover it in a whole day.
Nick Wallace reporting for us there on Futures Day at the recent Farnborough International Air Show. Well, Ian, we presented, of course, our Farnborough special about halfway through the air show week. Give us your thoughts on the whole week for BAE Systems.
I think it was a great week. I think our stand was the best ever we've had. You know, the centrepiece of having the Typhoon in all its glory, fully armed with all the capability that you could explain to customers and people who you would wish to join the company, as you can see from the enthusiasm there. I think, you know, you always set standards, but this time I think we beat those standards. We had a good quality of people coming to see us, and they were very impressed and very enthusiastic, and the warmth to the company, I think, was increased.
How difficult is it for somebody in your position to judge just how successful something like Farnborough is for the company?
You have to be clear that Farnborough for us is not about the signing of orders. I mean, sometimes you get, you know, announcements, and there were an announcement on the future support order from the UK government, but it's not about the signing of orders. It's about the commitment to the programmes that we have, showing the capabilities that we have as a group, and, you know, and the professionalism of the organisation.
Pete, I know you like a bit of speed and a bit of noise, usually on two wheels. Motorcycles, of course, is your thing. You did manage to get to Farnborough. Impressed with it this year? How did you see the whole week?
Yeah, it was very good. I was there for 4 days. The first 3 days trapped in the meeting rooms, just meeting shareholders. Our shareholders, you know, love what we do. They come down, they spend a lot of time with us. A lot of it is, you know, talk about the numbers and the finances, but they love the product too. So gives them a chance to go around. And then I took the Thursday off, went around the show myself. Great time.
What did you like the best? And you don't have to say the superb BAE Systems Exhibition Hall, which was superb, of course.
That's just what I was going to say, Tim. No. Well, I mean, it was the Typhoon Simulator for me, yeah. Which was actually next to our hall, the Eurofighter Hall. So yeah, having a look at that simulator was fantastic.
Well, Ian and Pete, I can say that the whole team here thoroughly enjoyed ourselves at Farnborough. Thank you for looking after us. Can we go again next year?
Not next year. It's every 2 years. But absolutely you can.
Okay.
On the basis that you still have the contract at that point
yes,
in time.
Yes, of course. And just to remind you, you can still hear our Farnborough special podcast featuring the F-35, Eurofighter Typhoon and some future technology on Podbean.
Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Well, the Chairman's Awards nominations are well underway, and the deadline for submissions for 2016 is fast approaching on the 12th of August. Joining us on the line from Stirling Square is BAE Systems Chairman Sir Roger Carr. Sir Roger, welcome again to the programme.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, Tim.
Now, Sir Roger, we've always followed the Chairman's Awards with keen interest. Just remind us why they're so important.
The awards are very important to the business. They undoubtedly give something for people to aim for. They draw out of the people in the business, I think, the very best of their capabilities. Innovation, their professional capability, their competence, and their enthusiasm. And we try and recognise that and reward it with the Chairman's Award.
There's not long now left, of course, until the nomination window for 2016 closes. As I mentioned, that's August the 12th. What would you say to anyone who's got a nomination in mind but hasn't yet submitted it?
I'd say remember the window is closing. There's a lot of competition. It's important to get your entry in and to make sure that all the great things that people do are registered so that they can be recognised. So don't hesitate. Do it today. Make the submission.
And when you're visiting sites and meeting teams across the business, do you see work yourself that you think should be nominated for a chairman's award?
I see the whole range of work the company does. I mean, it is a remarkable company. It has capability in all of the areas, in all its products. So you see technical innovation, you see product excellence, you see people committed to the development of product that may not be visible in the market for another 10 or 15 years. This is a kind of commitment that deserves reward and recognition. So wherever I go, I look for the talent, and at the Chairman's Award, I see the talent. And hopefully, by making the award, we reward the talent.
Sir Roger Carr, Chairman of BAE Systems, thanks for joining us. Ian, what would your message be then to those people who might be thinking about nominating their colleagues this year for an award?
They've got until Friday the 12th of August.
So they've got to get a move on,
basically. We've got to get a move on. We've made the process simpler. We've refined it, so learning from what everybody's been saying in the past. So get on and make your submissions. You would hate to miss it simply because of that final day. So get on and do it. It's really important, as Roger says. It's a recognition of the great things that this company does.
Okay, Ian, thank you. Now, if you want to find out how great the Chairman's Awards celebrations are, visit Podbean to hear directly from the Gold Awards event. And remember, to be in with a chance of attending the 2016 celebrations, get your nominations in before August the 12th.
Our conversation.
Now, as always, we like to give you access to BAE Systems senior leaders with your questions. Ian and Pete are both here, so let's get the first question, which I think is for you, Ian.
Hi Ian, my name is Darren McSweeney from Barrow in Furness submarine site. With the UK Parliament voting to commit to the successor submarine programme and the continuation of the strategic deterrent for the UK, what does this actually mean for the submarines business?
Well, the parliamentary approval was further commitment to the programmes that are ongoing in Barrow in terms of the Astute-class submarine leading on to the Successor-class submarine. So in terms of the continuation of the development of the site, I think we announced again today the next phase of the redevelopment of the site. We're continuing to recruit people. I think it's endorsement of all of the hard work that's been going on and the commitment of the UK as a nation to replace the Trident submarine. So we have few of our sites who can look 20 or 30 years ahead and look at the scale of the work and the continuation of the programmes that are going on. So it's fantastic news, and it's great to get the recognition of Parliament that they're committed to the programme.
Okay, Darren, does that answer your question?
Thanks very much, Ian. That's great. Thank you.
Darren McSweeney there with a question on the submarine business. Our second question, Pete, is for you.
Hi, Pete. My name is Phil Jeffrey from Enterprise IT Services in Applied Intelligence. My question is, to what extent do investors talk to you about Applied Intelligence? And what questions do they typically ask you in relation to our cyber defence business?
When we do the meetings with investors, and Ian and I do the rounds after the results, both at the full year and half year, a key feature is discussion around the Applied Intelligence business. It's a relatively newer part of the business compared to a sort of traditional defence business. We spent over £1 billion in acquiring companies that now make up Applied Intelligence. So when we have the meetings with investors, it's just like any other investor. They're looking for the return on the money. We've seen great top-line growth, and we saw another 16% sales growth in the first half. But what they're looking for is the bottom line. So one of the key features for Kevin Taylor and his team at Applied Intelligence is how do we get to that position of delivering profitable growth. We spend a lot of money in product development, a lot of money in engineering, brand awareness, sales and marketing, and we wrote off about £100 million of that in the first half year alone. So what we've got to get is the payback on that. So the investors rightly look for return on their investment.
And you're talking more about Applied Intelligence, presumably as the years go by. This is becoming a more important part of the business.
It is becoming more important part. If you look at those growth rates, 16% again in the first half, this business is headed to be north of £500 million business this year. So it's getting some scale.
As Pete said, we've been investing in this business, investing for growth. So we're seeing the top line growth, and we're seeing the order book coming through, and we're happy with that. Now it's turning it into profit as that growth outstrips the amount of money that we're putting into it, and driving the margins up. Now it's clear the shareholders like the business, we like the business, we're just in that cycle.
Well, thank you very much for both those questions. If you'd like to get your question on the programme, like Darren and Philip just have, all you have to do is email us. Our address is ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. You can send us your questions, your comments, and indeed your ideas for the show. Do get in touch because we do love to hear from you. Well, that's very nearly it for this edition. But Ian, before we put Pete back in his finance box for another quarter, let's get a look at your diary for the next few weeks. What's happening for you?
Well, I've got a couple of weeks till I go on holiday, and then a couple of weeks holiday, and then when we come back, we're into the shareholder presentation. So what tends to happen is we do the results at the end of July. Then in September, we go around and do the shareholder presentations. These are the one-on-ones where we describe it in some more detail, what the trends of the business were. Then we're into the third quarter business reviews because, you know, as we talked about, you know, the credentials that we have in terms of the order book need to be turned into the results that we've committed to if we continue to be the safe haven, and we do that through the business reviews. So no surprises, continuation, you know, life goes on. We're all very busy.
And when you do go on holiday, I believe it may involve a touch of golf again this year.
I am going to Scotland to play golf, and then I'm going to Jersey, and I'll probably play some golf there as well. But I'm hoping that the weather will be kind to me, because playing golf in Scotland when the weather is not kind is not the greatest thing to do, although I'm sure that the time off and the scenery will be absolutely fantastic.
Well, we wish you the best. We hope you swing it well. Pete, I know you're looking forward to the new football season, as we've already mentioned. Excited about that. And will you have time for a holiday as well?
Yeah, going to have some holiday. Going to head off this coming week. Going to go and see my sister in France for a few days, and then going down to Bali for a couple of weeks, which should be absolutely fantastic. Can't wait.
Have a good one. We'll be back with our next edition of Our Conversation in September. But for now, from me, Tim Smith, from Ian King and Pete Linus, it's goodbye.